Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, after moving through 4 different homes, one family began noticing the same footsteps, shadows, and presence in every house. At what point do you stop blaming the property and start wondering if something followed you?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It is, and yes, 855-853-4802, phone number to call if you want to share your real ghost stories with us. And you can write in, realghoststoriesonline.com. We would love to hear your ghost stories. And here we go, getting into Halloween season already. It's March. Stores are starting to...
When you said that, I thought, what the hell are you talking about? You said it so seriously. The delivery was very good on that.
Well, I guess if you're at Hobby Lobby, maybe it's you're starting to see pumpkins, aren't you? I don't know.
I'm sure that there's probably an aisle that has some leftover stuff from last year still hanging out in the store someplace.
But when do they? Are they probably more in East? I don't know. Maybe Easter's starting to get, I don't know.
Wrapping up, yeah.
I was at Home, the department store, the home store called At Home. June, they had Halloween stuff. So yep. We're really just like 3 short months away.
Yeah, we're not that far away from that stuff.
So here we are getting into Halloween season. It's March. What you giving the trick-or-treaters this year?
Nothing. A piece of my mind. That's what they're going to get if they come to my house this
year. That'd be great.
I do not have any at my house. So I don't even have to worry about that. They just don't show up.
No, they just...
I remember a couple years ago, I was giving out candy to kids, and then I got these little Red Bull shots, and I was giving them out to... No, well, there's the problem, because I'm like, how do I know how old people are? Like, yeah. I was giving them out, you know, to the parents and stuff like that, but like somebody who looks of age may not be of age. So I thought, well, I'll just have to polish these off myself.
May I ask, where'd that idea come from?
I don't. Somebody had talked about, maybe it was a TV show or something, like a comedy or something, where they were doing like a grown-up Halloween or whatever. I'm like, oh, this would be kind of cool. Give kids, you know, kids get their candy and then the adults take them around. If they want, I wasn't going to, you know, make people take it. But if they wanted something, I'd give them a shot of whatever that stuff's called. Fireball or whatever, though. That was a good Halloween.
Giving out like little airline bottles of liquor, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty
much,
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Till the cops pull up with their lights on asking me, you know, to get out of the house.
Well, if it's free, as long as you're giving it to adults, I think that
and would be. And you only gave them one shot. They had the opportunity to say no. They'd obviously been drinking anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were walking. Nobody was driving. Right. Sure. So that's not a problem either.
At least walking back to their car,
which is down the street. Right. Exactly. Thanks.
And they're getting
Carol.
Drunk and putting their children in their car with your one shot of Fireball. And then turns into a Fireball.
I would love to do more of a Halloween kind of trick or treat like that. Would you guys if there was an adult version of Halloween trick or treating, would you guys do it?
Yeah. I would totally participate.
I'm not sure what I'd want to get for my Halloween basket, but I don't know that it would be Fireball, but
I think the little drams of liquor is a lovely idea. This, the little airline bottles, you know, you pick them up at the liquor store, you know, they sell them in like those big old packs behind the counter.
Maybe some dim sum or something like that. You walk up to somebody's house and they're giving little, you know, little pouches of food out.
Dim sum.
Yeah.
I got to be real.
Pot stickers.
I would still want some Reese's. I would be so happy to go to the house that gave me Reese's. I would be like, oh.
Yeah, I'd be good with the, I mean, but I think you do. You have an option. You have an adult option to it.
But if you're going house to house, Reese's at this house, little bottles of Fireball at that house, beer at that house, dim sum at that house.
That's really not a bad idea if I wanted to ever be social with my neighbors.
Yeah, maybe you could do it the night after Halloween.
Well, no, here's what I'm saying. You could organize that in a neighborhood if it's not, I mean, my neighborhood's not super huge, but they do kind of have some stuff every now and then. But that could be like, hey, who's doing trick-or-treating this year? Do any of the houses want to do grown-up trick-or-treating too? So yeah. If you're, and then just kind of have that set up where within the neighborhood, you just do that. I don't know. It'd be kind of fun. It's not a bad idea.
I love the idea.
Yeah, I'm just not sure that I want any of my neighbors stopping by, you know?
Yeah, then you have to go to, but then I have to socially interact with people. And it's kind of like, yeah, well.
I'll be out there with my shotgun.
Yeah. Here's a lovely idea for you people who do like people.
People who like people.
See, I think it would be fun. I just don't want everybody congregating like all night at my house.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it would be fun. I mean, I do like my neighbors. I've met them a handful of times, but it would be.
There's an old couple that lives down the street and they always avoid. They walk every day, like two or three times. They'll go out for a long walk.
Yeah.
But they always walk across the street. And I know it's because maybe people think I'm mean or whatever, just because I don't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. The only time they walk past my house, Carol, is if like there's some neighborhood gossip, like a guy two houses down got kicked out of his house and they went in and he was a hoarder and it was really bad and all that stuff. So they had some gossip and they wanted to share it. Hey, did you hear so-and-so? Right. Other than that, they walk across the street so they can avoid me. And that makes me happy. Like, I'm so happy that people avoid me on purpose.
That's lovely. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is.
Oh, my God. That is so not me.
And it's like, I always know.
All the neighbors. I know all of them.
I always know when something's gone down in the neighborhood because they're walking on my side of the street. Oh, something must have happened. Why? The old couple's coming this way, you know?
Here comes the news.
Huey Lewis and the news.
God. Lovely. Let's go to our first ghost story at 855-853-4802.
Hey, good afternoon. My name is Ivan. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I'm Hispanic, and years ago when I was younger, my mom, God rest her soul, used to have, I guess you could say, psychic abilities. She could predict things. In any case, she passed away several years ago, and since then, I've been noticing some weird things, but I really don't know what's going on, so. I have a family, I have a wife and two kids, and we've lived in, say, four different residences so far, and one was in Camden, New Jersey, and we used to hear footsteps upstairs when nobody was up there. Never thought too much of it. Stayed that way. We just asked ourselves, you know, did you hear that? That kind of thing. We all look at each other like, yes, we did. We moved into the next house. We had the same problem. My wife used to feel a presence on the steps following her. We found out later on that the lady who owned the house, her son had been shot and he spent the rest of his days in that house. And he eventually passed away there. she said she used to feel like an evil presence, like if something was pressing down on her shoulders. We left that house, moved into the next house, which was actually like maybe four doors down. Again, we felt the presence in the hallway. Upstairs, we would hear somebody walking around upstairs in the bedroom when we were upstairs, when we were downstairs, rather, and we would hear somebody coming down the steps, and she would always feel something. As a matter of fact, the last day that I was there, I was downstairs cleaning up, washing the dishes, getting ready to move out, when the window mysteriously blew out and flew all the way across the room and landed on the other side of the room. I went to the window, I went outside, it wasn't too windy, so I couldn't explain how the window blew that far, but I was like, okay, you know, the hair stood up on my arms, and I got the hell out of there. The first day that we moved into the residence where we're at now, at that time we had three cats. Two of the cats ran upstairs, and one cat, Stinky, we couldn't find him for a while. When we did find him, he was hiding in the basement. He did not want to come back upstairs. To this day, he's constantly looking at the steps. My wife claims to see a shadow figure walking. He's noticed it downstairs. He's noticed it upstairs. It's mainly in the hallway. Cats, when they come upstairs, they run through the hallway before they come into the room. I've felt things, but I've never actually seen anything. But we're starting to feel as though it's something that follows us around. My daughter actually, at the previous house, ran out of the bathroom naked because she's seen a woman dressed in all black outside of the bathtub. She literally ran out of the bathroom. It took us about a month and a half maybe to get her to go back into the bathroom on her own. We're not paranormal investigators, but we've been to places like Gettysburg Battlefield. We've been to Fort Mifflin and here in Philadelphia, which I believe we did bring something home from that place. I had something on video that I caught as I was running around with my cell phone. I didn't see anything physically, but several months later, I happened to look at the footage, and you can hear in the background, sounds like somebody's being whipped and somebody screaming. And then at the very end of the video, you hear someone say, "One way in, one way out." To this day, I don't remember anyone being in there with us. So I don't think that it was an actual person, but I have yet to figure that one out. We've been to Burlington County Prison, where my daughter took a picture, and we were in the gallows where several people got hung there, and we picked up on her phone what looked to be someone in a hood, but we're not too sure. We showed it to a couple of people, and they thought that it was nothing. Like I said, I don't know. We're not paranormal investigators, but, you know, we are interested, and I do believe in the afterlife. Now, just wanted to know what you thought about that. Oh, and by the way, I am Hispanic, Puerto Rican to be exact. And again, my mom used to deal with what's called Santeria, but before it was all said and done, she was dealing with Brujeria, which is basically black magic. She didn't die to me, I thought she died a horrible death. She ended up having a stroke at the age of 51, passed away at 53, suffered in those couple of years that she was alive. And I believe that when you mess with things like that, you're messing with evil spirits. Plenty more stories. I can tell you stories from my mom that she used to tell me. But again, that's basically what I wanted to say. Thank you.
How much you think that that passes down then when you have like a parent into something like that? And you know,
I hate the idea that something his mother could have done could have affected his family that much. I don't like that idea.
I mean, there's all sorts of things you think of it that parents do with it end up in kind of indirectly affecting the kid later.
Yes.
You know, that don't involve, you know, black magic, but I mean, it just could be one of many, quite honestly, you know,
childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Spiritual baggage. I kind of look at it that way. It's like if your parents, you know, if your parents my parents were fine parents. I mean, they weren't perfect or anything. Mm-hmm. And I certainly walked away with enough trauma in my life because of it. Thanks, mm-hmm. Mom and Dad. But I do wonder too, like you said, Tony, if things that you do on the spiritual side of your life can affect people down the line. If you're really into the woo-woo world, you really believe that your ancestors are connected to you and things that they've done, you need to fix in your life so that it like cuts ties with it.
That's interesting. But what if you don't know about something?
It's your job to figure that out. That's why you're here, is what they say. And also, what was he doing? Was he shoeing a horse or something in the background?
That or treading water. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Shoeing a horse and treading water. He was going. He was actually enacting. Now he was reenacting or enacting. I don't know what the term would be. Oregon Trail. He was going. He was crossing the Illinois right there, and. Then he got typhoid fever. Yeah.
A little dysentery. Yeah.
Yeah. I hate when that happens.
Don't we all?
I had a burrito the other night and I think I got dysentery. Kind of kidding, kind of not.
Let's not go into depth on the dysentery. The next time I have those issues, I am definitely referring to it as dysentery. Because nobody does.
They take it more serious when you're calling the hotline. They have. Are you suffering from dysentery? We can help. Call the dysentery hotline now. It's like 666 or something on your phone, you know.
Oh. Shoot.
That's dysentery went away and so did consumption. If you read
what the hell was consumption? Exactly. Is that drunkenness?
If you read any Jane Austen book, all it takes is for a woman, they seem to be the only one who gets it. They need to get caught in the rain and then they have to go to a handsome man's home to recover and where they're really, really sick for weeks with the consumption.
And I'm like
that is a Jane Austen, like she does that all the time. Yeah.
Wow.
TB is what it stood for. Tuberculosis.
Yeah,
they would call it consumption. Yeah, I didn't know what it stood for. But
okay. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
It was TB.
Yeah, but that's not, it was really like you just have to lay in bed for a long time and then you would get over it.
That really kind of is what they did when you were at a TV, wasn't it? It was, at least at that point in time. I don't know what did you do?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Because that's, I remember on Mackinac Island, there was, there's several former TB hospitals that are now they're like a lot of them are apartments now for like the folks that, that work on the island. And the stories at some of those, there's a lot of those ghost stories in those places. But I remember them saying, like, it was a great place if you had it, you know, for a horrible situation, at least in summer, because nice breezes, there was a beautiful window, and there was, because you're sitting there in bed. And it was like, okay, if you're going to get it, you know, this isn't a bad spot for it.
They also felt like if you opened up the window, somehow the fresh air was supposed to help your breathing and all that kind of stuff. So
unless you had allergies
like Carol's dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, they probably didn't take that into account either. It's the TV that got him. No, it was hay fever. And
it was a pollen.
It was pollen, you know. I wonder how many before we like knew about, how long have we known about allergies? I mean, it has to be
the 80s. I feel is like when they really came to light. I don't know. I never heard about him as a child. Like
really?
In the 70s. Well, not in the 70s, but by the 80s, everybody was taking Allegra and
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm guessing way back then, I wonder how many people thought that they were like chronically ill just because they had like they were allergic to mold or something.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right.
Well, imagine how much mold there was.
Well, and honestly, probably really a lot of it could lead to chronic illness, because I mean, without some of the, you know, I don't know what I would do with, if I had to live the year without like Allegra and Mucinex, I'd be dead. I probably would. I wonder
how or even air conditioning, you know, yeah, to filter some of that stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, it's brutal if I don't have that or forgot it or something. And yeah, I mean, it probably actually in reality was the demise of a lot of folks. Interesting to think of it. The toll of allergies.
It's the modern day consumption is what it is. Yeah.
Allegra saved my life and it can save yours too. All right, let's go to another phone call at 855-853-4802.
I'm getting it all ready to go here.
Here comes a phone call.
I guess my story is still ongoing. About maybe like 2 years ago, exactly from November, I moved in with my boyfriend to his current townhome where his older brother and his wife and kids lived for maybe about a couple of years before we got to move into there. One night, I remember I was taking care of our brand new puppy and my other dog, and I kept hearing a lot of noise, and I was a little weirded out. Then that night, maybe like 2 hours later, his brother showed up with his wife, and they started telling me how there was all these creepy stories about the townhome that they had experienced. And one day they were having dinner, and when they called the kids down to eat, they noticed that one of the little girls was missing. So the other kids went back upstairs to go get her, and they found her sitting down in the middle room of the upstairs three bedrooms, and she was just staring up at a small window that faces the dining room area. So once you enter the townhome, just to give like a diagram of how the layout is, you go up the stairs and there's the first session to your right, then there's the first room to your left. You walk down a little bit of a hallway and there's that middle room that I'm talking about. And then at the far end, there's the master bedroom. So in that middle room, they also recall that when they were taking pictures of the entire townhome, they found like kind of like what looks like a old VHS tape, like a filter kind of over that room in specific. When they were telling me all these stories, maybe like a couple of days later, I was there in the morning and I was getting everything ready for the little puppy because I was about to leave to school. I kept hearing noise downstairs, like in the kitchen area. And I was like, oh, maybe, you know, his sister hasn't left yet. Maybe she's getting herself ready. She's putting in some laundry, something, just an excuse. And once I actually left the puppy downstairs, left food and everything, I walk out and notice that it's just my car in the driveway. So, of course, I get spooked. Then as time went by, I kept feeling like some weird energy. As soon as you enter the house, it's just, it feels so dark. And it was maybe, I don't know, like midway last year when I had stayed over, and around like 4 a.m, my boyfriend kissed me, said he was leaving to work. Around an hour or less later, I start hearing what it seems like somebody was turning on and turning off a switch from outside of the bedroom. And then running down the stairs, but in like a weird, like dragging feet noise and like a stomp. Like it was just nothing that I had ever heard before from either my boyfriend or his sister. So then it was a switch turn on, run down the stairs, dragging feet, then switch goes off and downstairs. And then it just kept going back and forth where it became so repetitive that it would have been impossible for a human being to run up and down the stairs and turn on and off the switch as fast as it was going. And then I woke up, and when I woke up, I saw that the door was actually semi-opened. And I remember when he left, he kind of slammed the door a little bit to make sure that it was locked. And when I looked, it was like cracked open, and there was no light on at no times when I was hearing the switch go on and off. So then I get up, I close the door, and when I test the lock, it was still locked. So there's no way somebody would have been able to open the door and close it back up. Other than that, I remember I had this vivid dream, nightmare actually, that I was walking into the house, bringing in groceries. When I looked down, I saw a bunch of maggots in the grass. And in the dream, we started digging out that grass area where we kind of hit something hard. And when we looked in, we saw this kind of like a semi-open casket. And I saw what appeared like women's feet upright. And then when I walk into the home, I remember that I would see this lady in like a creepy, like nightgown, kind of like a hospital gown. And she would look at me and tell me, do not dig there, because, you know, that was her grave. When I started telling her in my nightmare that I was afraid of the house, she told me that it's not really the house to be afraid of. It was actually the land. So then we started looking into what the land had history of, because she told me in my nightmare that it was like a graveyard. When we started looking into the history of the home, we didn't find anything other than maybe like previous homeowners. And something that was extremely sketchy and pretty creepy was that from a certain period of time, people were only living there for about a year. It was always, they would move in January, leave February, and then they would just leave. When they sold the house at a certain point, I think it was 2008, from previous owners, they sold it for only half of what it was worth when they purchased it. And it kind of seemed like they were only there for a couple months. So we don't know if maybe like previous homeowners have also experienced something creepy in that home. But yeah, I mean, I still go over to my boyfriend's house and it's kind of creepy, but that's my ghost story, I guess, in that home. Other than that, I remember when I was younger, I used to always experience weird things, but I don't know, maybe this is my actual sixth sense and I do have a calling for seeing and hearing ghosts. But thank you so much. I really hope I get to have this voicemail heard on the podcast. Thank you so much. I love your show. It keeps me busy while I'm at work, bored, and it entertains me. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing your ghost story with us. Thoughts on that?
I do think that she probably does have some sort of abilities since it's happened there and other places. But I wonder if anybody else in the house has had issues or if it's just her. Because like she had some pretty extreme things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And but she doesn't say anything about like her boyfriend having things. And it sounds like he's still living in that same house. Mm-hmm. She's not there all the time. Which if I was her after that, I wouldn't want to be there all the time either.
Yeah, it makes you wonder then if, you know, are they exclusive to her?
Yeah, I kind of wonder. Because it definitely sounds like things were happening. And, you know, she remembers her boyfriend leaving and pulling the door shut. Yet she wakes up, the door's open and it's still locked. Mm-hmm. You know, so what was happening? Like, what was she hearing? The running up and down and...
That's interesting. I feel like I've heard other stories in the past of that whole running down the hall, light switch flipping and then running back and all that. Like, I wonder if that's some sort of thing that many people experience, because it's not the first time I've heard that type of story.
Yeah.
And if it's being done by a spirit, what's the point? Just exercise? Like, what is it that they're doing? Like, why that? Of all
I was saying on the other show, maybe it's just that weird, you're wandering around and you don't know what the hell you're doing. It's permadrunk.
God, that would be so sad if that's your life. You're just going back and forth, flipping light switches. You
look
know?
At most of the ghostly shit that happens to people sounds also very mysteriously like a ram or a wandering drunk.
Yeah.
Kind of does.
I have that to look forward to in life.
Or a four-year-old. Watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me.
It could be. See, that's what I was thinking, too. Like trying to get attention.
Maybe it makes sense that it's wandering drunk. Not that it's a wandering drunk ghost, but maybe it makes sense because people like to drink. People like to get there. People like to feel that. And I know some don't, and I get that. I'm not a huge fan of it anymore, but I do remember a time in life where it was like, this is great. And if this is the other side and it's basically permadrunk, is that so bad? If there's no like end to it, there's not like the hangover, you're not like even coming out of it, and there's really no consequences. You're just kind of going through doing whatever, and it's your energy kind of flowing around, which is kind of like what it is when you're drunk. You know, if you're like, you know, at that, you know, that sort of a, you know, setting.
What if you are a ghost and you're just figuring out some shit to do? So it's like, I figured out I could turn this light off. and on. And it's fun. Maybe it's like, that's kind of cool. Like you figured out how you could do it.
Yeah, I've had that when I've been, when I've been drunk before, where you're like in your, like, I didn't even know I had a switch here. You
know? This is awesome. Best switch
ever. Oh my God. If I plug this in over here and you flip that switch, I mean, things seem fucking amazing in those moments. So if it's just kind of a permanent, like early 20s, some drunk feeling, I'm cool with that.
I was just going to say, you kind of blew my mind with that whole philosophy, because I would be okay with that too. Cause some of my best, as much as I don't drink like I used to, I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And some of the craziest shit happened that I kind of remember, but kind of don't remember.
Yeah.
So if that's what it's like to be a ghost, bring it on.
You know, and it's perma drunk, but like perma happy drunk energy, just kind of, but not, you're not being sloppy. Because when I'm in those kind of states in my dreams, I'm not sloppy or anything. You're just kind of like, you're just cool. And you're not even realizing you're being sloppy when you're drunk either, you know? And there, I don't know. If you're thinking of it as, I know it's a depressant, but if you're thinking of it, how it elevates kind of temporarily your personality or your senses on things. And obviously, you know, not necessarily for the best, but at the moment you sure as hell think it is. If it's kind of, yeah. I mean, if that's a, I don't say being drunk is a higher being or anything, but it certainly can be more joyful than not at times. I think if we're being really honest, you know,
if death is the colony circa 1991 at 3 o'clock in the morning with the lights and everything and the DJ stand and me talking, I'm all for it.
That would be awesome.
Oh, I could sit on that bar and just bullshit all night. Totally.
You know, one of my earliest memories is from the colony.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
I'm assuming that was a bar in.
Yes, it was a supper club. Yep. In our hometown. And it was just very much your 1970s, 80s supper clubby, you know, carpet on the wall, Christmas lights.
Yep.
You know, it was nice. It was like the wallpaper was like texturally patterned. It was nice, but it was comfortable, and it was a place everybody went to. It was a place you'd go have like Easter too, or a special meal, or went to many a funeral dinners there. My memory, my aunt was babysitting me, and my parents went out on a date, and I know, I think it was the last time they went on a date too, quite honestly. And at least when I was a child. And I remember we were downtown. We went to Century Foods and I got to pick out a candy and I picked out what I thought were gumdrops. And I didn't know what gumdrops even were, but they were colorful and they looked good. Well, they were the spicy ones.
Ooh.
And I didn't realize that until I was in the backseat of my aunt's car and I spilled them. So we're driving and for whatever reason, my aunt had a question for my mom, and this is pre-cell phones. This is about 1984. We go into the colony to, cause she has to ask them something, cause she knows that's where they went. And I just remember being really little and like everything being really big in there. And I remember, like, I can envision them, like, seeing them on there's the stools, you know, from, like, knee height. And just I just kind of amazed as well at, like, the lights and everything.
I have so many wonderful stories, and I don't want to take up too much time, but I've got one that, Tony, I know you will appreciate.
Okay.
It was Halloween one year. We had all DJed, and then what we would do, Carol, if you DJed a wedding on Saturday night, after everybody was done, we'd all meet up at a location and have some drinks. Well, the colony was the place. So we all showed up on this Halloween, and our friend Greg Owens came in with his girlfriend, and they were dressed as hippies. And Greg had on a very long wig, right? And he had on a headband. And I think they were trying to be Sonny and Cher to a certain extent.
Okay.
But somebody So somebody said he looks like Mama Cass. Okay, because he did. And I heard that, and that's a funny line. That's worthy of a laugh. I heard it because I already had a couple of drinks. I heard it as somebody ordered a Mama Cass. So I was asking the bartender what was in a Mama Cass because I wanted to have one. And then it was after bar, but we were still there. And a guy shows up at like 2:30 in the morning to varnish the bathroom doors. Honest to God. So here I am asking Varnish Man if he's lonely, if that's why he's out at 2:30 in the morning varnishing bathroom doors. And I kept calling him Varnish Man. So if that is death, Tony, I'm all for it.
That sounds fun.
Oh, my God. It was a blast.
Yeah.
And then the cops showed up and everybody's like, put your drink down.
Because Varnish Man called him and said, look, I'm just.
Varnish Man just wants to work in peace.
Yes.
And then the bars are closed for 3 hours and everything's back up at 6 a.m. Sunday morning.
Yep. God. Great times.
There you go. I'll wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that, check it out Apple Podcasts or on Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online, and that is where you will find us. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I am Tony. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.